Very pleased to welcome in our next guest. You'll hear him on this station, on this very show, and during Hockey Central. Grapevine heads into season number 30 with Brian Williams and our next guest, Donald S. Cherry, and he joins us now on Brady and Walker. Don, it's great to have you on. How are you doing?
Andrew from Saskatchewan, eh?
That's right.
That's right, yeah.
Good Western boy.
You bet.
Are there any bad Western boys? No, we can't find them anywhere.
Especially those junior hockey players. 25 hours on the bus, play the game, get right back on the bus, travel all the way back, get back, go to school. So that teaches you character out there, I'll tell you.
Well, here's George Parros, right? Pennsylvania guy, yeah. Princeton educated, but so popular in the league. Tell us your reaction watching what happened to him last night.
Well, you hate to see that, eh? And I've been in that. I've never really hit my head that hard in the fights. But, I mean, as I said last night, he's the guy that put out Orr for the season, and it looks like... But I think he wanted to get up last night. Well, right now, he's more embarrassed when you're a fighter like that to be carried off on a stretcher. I think he's going to be all right, but it was an accident. You know, he went right over top, and George, he's a good guy and everything, but he was the guy that wanted to go with Orr. If you looked at I was going to show it, but he was the guy that was going after Orr because he put out one of their guys. So, yeah, you get in a fight, you get hurt. You take your chances, and it's too bad because he's a good guy.
And just to pass on, George Parros' agent this morning says George is doing well this morning and that nothing is broken. So that is good news.
Well, Don, I think if you saw he wanted to get up, he would have been a little... I've seen guys... I got clocked one time for 17 stitches, and let me tell you something, I was a little dizzy going off too, but I think he wanted to get up, and I think he's more embarrassed than anything. You can tell a guy when he's really out, that he doesn't move, but... Hey, you know, you feel bad, and all the anti-fighting people, they'll jump all over that one. That'll be, I don't read the papers. I never read the papers anyhow, but I never for sure read the papers when there's a fight like that. They all jump on it, and all, you know, it's terrible, and all that baloney. Anyhow, I want to talk about Grabowski in Washington. I guaranteed that he would have a good year, and George McPhee, the general manager, did a smart thing. What he did was he signed him for 1 year. I said, look out for this guy in the 1 year, and by golly, the little bugger gets a hat trick last night.
Let's go there. Could Randy Carlyle, could he have done anything in a coach-player relationship to make this work? It takes two, right, to have a disagreement and to have a relationship fallout.
No, he's the type of guy that's got to be on his last year of his contract and the whole deal. They just got off. He just did not play well for Toronto at all. He floated. And I don't know who was the chicken or the egg who started the whole thing, but he never played really good the year before. What happened is he's on a one-year contract. If he doesn't do good in Washington, he's gone forever. So he could turn it on, boy. He can fly. But isn't that funny that McPhee knew just signed him for 1 year? He can skate, but I guaranteed he'd have a good year.
I thought he was really productive with Ron Wilson here, but I don't want to wreck your breakfast.
I just ate, please.
With no Grabowski, and instead the Leafs up the middle have Kadri and Bozak, and now David Bolin, pretty good player. They might not have that number one center, but the three guys they have are kind of interchangeable. There has to be a value in that.
Yeah, like every line you throw on, I mean, Bolin, I think he's capable of scoring more goals, but every line you throw on there at the center are pretty good. They're not great, but they're good, and that's a good sign. You don't go really great, mediocre. No, the three guys, like you say, the Bolin could move up to number one. I really believe that he's been put in a niche, if you will, that he's a defensive guy, and he works on that. I think if he ever opened up, because he can skate, he can do everything. I mean, they got three pretty good, but to really win the cup, you got to have that big stud. Like, I heard you guys talking about Thornton or somebody like that, and you're absolutely right about Thornton. Not that he played with the separated ribs and everything in Boston. It's just situations that he's got into. And, you know, if he had a big stud like that, that would be great.
And, you know, St. Thomas kid, you'd hope that you could get him short term. And the problem is the Leafs have looked at these kind of guys before, and they always seem to stay with their clubs. But maybe if Joe takes one more crack at it here in San Jose, maybe. And that's the only way, Don, economically, that I wouldn't have Dion Phaneuf back, is if I knew I could sign Joe Thornton, you'd have to utilize that money differently.
Yeah. The big thing is it looks like they got enough good young defensemen coming. They got Riley. He's a winner for sure. He's a keeper. But, Yeah, you got somehow or other they got to get that centerman. If you look at every team that goes that far, Taves, Bergeron, you go down the list, they always Brown. You always the guys that win, they always got that dominant centerman because he plays half the game. I mean, Taves is you just take a look at him.
Reimer, good last night. We expect to see Bernier tonight. Good problem to have, and do you have a horse in this race?
Well, I had the same thing with Cheevers and Jilly Gilbert, that one set a record that never lost in 32 games, and the other guy set a record, Gilbert, won 17 straight games. So what you do is you play them back and forth, and he's got him playing pretty good last night. I like Carlisle. That he nobody's telling him what to do. Bernier wanted to play. Yeah, okay, put him in there, and he put Reimer in there. That's what he wants to do. So you're right when you were talking earlier that there is pressure on Bernier. He's got to perform, and I like that. So they'll go down the wire, and with playing it this way, I don't think they'll flip-flop every game. But and who's ever hot going into the playoffs, that's who he'll play.
Don Cherry, kind enough to join us. One more quickie on Orr, and I'll ask this almost out of ignorance with hockey fights. Did Orr do anything wrong with grabbing Parros? I heard it described as Parros slipped. He's down already. He pulls Parros down, and Parros is off balance. Is there a... No, he pulls on the jersey. I'm asking.
How the hell do the people get these
things? Well, I'm asking.
What happened was that Parros went to throw a punch, and as he threw the punch, he slipped and went right over top of him. Orr had nothing to do with it, it was nothing to do with Orr. I mean, Parros had him down in the whole deal. But as he went to go over, he threw the punch and he went right over top of him. And you know, hey, you're in a fight, you're there to survive.
I know.
It's not Marcus of Queensbury, let me tell you. So it wasn't Orr's fault at all.
All right, 30 years, Grapevine. Can you imagine, what was year one like with Brian Williams? You guys are doing this radio thing thinking I'm on Coach's Corner. It's the early 80s. How long will we do this for? And here you are 30 with Pryor Smith 30 years later.
I'll tell you a funny story if you got time.
Yeah.
It was a good friend of mine, Jerry Patterson, who's my friend, and he went in to see Pryor Smith at, I think it was CFRB we started on, or one of those 10. Anyhow, so... He went in, he says, and I really didn't want to do the show. I'm one of those guys that got to be pushed into everything, right? So he goes in and he says to Pryor Smith, he says, well, Don Cherry would like to do a radio show. And he says, yeah, well, tell Don Cherry to line up. There's 18 other people that would be too. So Jerry opened the book, and from Bridgestone, Herb Stein had a check for $100,000. He says, well, does this help? He says, when would you like to start, Monday? So I've been doing it ever since, and I said to Brian Williams, I said, Brian, I don't know if I got enough stories, they stuff till Christmas. What are we going to do? So we go on, we have a good time, and I mean, it takes us a little while, I find, in two or three, not in the Coach's Corner, we start off with a bang, but with the radio, it takes us about a week or so to get in a groove, and we go in and we have a lot of fun, and it's in 100 stations, over 100 stations, and about a million people a week listen, so... We must be doing something right.
You're doing something right. And I'll tell you what, I know, since I moved back from Detroit, I know when it's time to start Christmas shopping when I hear the singing dogs.
Yeah.
When they come on, I know it's time to shop for my wife and kids, that when I hear the dogs, I better start my shopping.
Yeah, we change it up. My favorite one was the nicknames. We play it every once in a while. And Brian said, this is not funny, stop it. And I wouldn't stop it. I kept right on going. I mean, I don't know where I got all those nicknames. That was my favorite one.